Revenge, episode number 146. And it's right in front of us. It's right in front of us. Some guys just need to unlock. It's right in front of us. Right, Tim?
It's right in front of you. Right in front of
us. We just need to wait for JD Davis to unlock some things, and then this team is...
That's what it is. It's JD Davis. That's the answer. Your four letter.
Right in front of us. Right in front of us. I'm kidding. It's miserable. It's miserable being a fucking Yankee fan right now. It's absolutely.
What's the record right now in the last 30? What are you like, 11-23 or something?
I believe we have the.
Or the last, like, since June 7th, something, whatever. I don't even know.
I remember the stat. I think it was in their last 30. They're 60-44. They were 50-33 out now.
24?
Yeah, they were something like that.
Right? It has to be. Something because like now they're what? 60-44. They've lost like 20 games in their last 30. They won 10.
Let's see.
I mean, dude, it's been miserable. And
okay, here we go.
And it's
the Yankees record since June 15th. At one point it was 5-14, and I think it's just gotten worse and worse and worse. And I'm blanking on what the stat was. Who had it? It was this guy that had it.
Listen, I don't know if it was just the Mets series. I don't know what it is, but it's not even just like the hitting. The pitching stinks. The pitching stinks. The hitting stinks. The fielding stinks. Like, your bullpen is supposed to be good, isn't doing great. Michael Tonkin's a joke, and the fact that you guys picked him up and thought it was a good idea to put him out there against us and thought that was going to work out is just unbelievable to me.
I think that it's just gotten,
there's a lot of holes. There's a lot of holes.
A lot, yeah. It's just gotten to a point where no matter who they get at the deadline, I'm still just like, you don't think it's going to cut it.
Yeah, and you know what? This goes back to what you said sort of towards the start of the year when the Mets were really on their lull streak the first, 2 months? I mean, you said it too. You go, listen, this Yankees team may be hot right now. We got a long season ahead of us, and they got a lot of problems. This infield, we've been talking about it for months now. What is the answer? Jonathan India, is he a guy you go after? There's so many holes here.
There's interest in Jameson Taillon and the Cubs. There's interest in Nico Horner. There's interest in Mike Tarr. It seems like I've been hearing a lot of Cubs guys, which I kind of like. I kind of like the Cubs. I like the Cubs this year. It sucks.
They haven't scored. I don't even know if they scored 10 runs since the All-Star break.
I don't think they have either. There's interest in Jonathan India. There's interest in, there was interest in Jazz Chisholm, and now they think that this guy's a locker room cancer.
I forget who was talking about it. Someone said, listen, like, I know sometimes, you know, the assholes, they don't mesh well in the locker room, but the assholes hit home runs and they get on base. So sometimes you need some assholes.
Yeah, remember when fucking, what's it, when Josh Donaldson went to the Yankees, like, you know, they need a little fuck you in them. And
they do right now. They desperately do. They need some fire. They look defeated.
Like a defeated team, and it just looks like this team is just not likable. Just not likable.
No.
Not likable in the slightest. Like, and I get it. It's the Yankees. They're not supposed to be likable. 27 rings, all that. Bunch of pennants. But when you're fans.
But even Yankee fans don't like them.
Even Yankee fans aren't liking them. So right now, I'm just sort of. Whatever happens, happens.
It's
go with the flow. It's just been a disaster.
Been a complete flip of the switch, Stan. I mean,
that they are 2.5 out of first place still.
Ridiculous. It's absurd to me.
Insane.
That shouldn't be a thing. And they lead the wild card by what? Three games? That shouldn't even be
three
a thing.
And
they've been terrible. And they're still in a comfortable spot, which is, if you're a Yankee fan, that's your bright spot. Listen, having a rough few months. Yeah. You're still in a good position. Go out. Go make some trade acquisitions. You need to add depth to this lineup because that's a huge part of it. You have a good top three. You'd have nothing behind it. So you can't, you know, the bottom guys can't get on base. They hit the double plays constantly, which is ruining innings, leaving runners on base. Happened a ton in the Mets series. So there's a lot of things they got to go after. And then you flip, look at the standings, and it's like, wow, we're 2 games out of first place. I mean, we still could win this division. So yeah. I would keep the heads high. See how this trade deadline goes. I know Mets fans' heads are we're on the freaking moon right now, Stan. This is baseball's back in Queens.
It is. Baseball's back in Queens. This feels like a restored feel. This is a restoring feeling. I feel like it's sort of a 180 from what happened in April and May. And now here we are on the night of July 25th, and the Mets are a half game out at the top wild card spot.
I don't know. Mets started terribly. They completely switched it around. You can say it's Grimace. You can say it's Jose Iglesias. All I'm going to say is, oh my God, Stan, this has been fantastic. Francisco Lindor is going to be an MVP candidate if he keeps playing like this. If Pete Alonso can figure it out, this lineup is dangerous. McNeil just walked it off tonight. And McNeil's been, since the All-Star break, one of our best hitters. Go far to the All-Star break. I've been saying trade this guy since fucking April. I don't know. It's been a complete 180 switch. I've been so happy to watch. It's a complete flip, Stan, because you say, Yankees fans hate the Yankees. Everyone loves the Mets right now. I mean, you can't hate a guy on this team. They're just having fun.
You can't hate this right now. We'll dive into trade deadline. Training camp. Got some training camp kicking off. Football. I'm excited. Football.
Hard Knocks.
From today. Football. You know that clip of Scott Hansen where he's just like...
Was it the Hall of Fame game?
It's the Hall of Fame game. Bears Texans. ESPN. Wait for tomorrow.
God. You can't even play on that field. It's like concrete underneath.
Yeah, but who cares? It's still football to me, damn it. It's still football to me.
Get excited.
We'll talk some college football as well. Preview of the Big Ten. A month from today, there will be college football, which is also very exciting. This is get ready. The good old days. We're ready to turn the...
We're reeling back in. NHL is going to start eventually. The NBA is going to start up soon. I mean, it's just everything picks up.
Everything's going on. Should be a light topic episode. So let's just dive into it right now. Trade deadline. Already have a trade off the board. Diamondbacks already get one of the best relievers in baseball in AJ Puck. They trade for, let me pull it up here. It's bad podcasting on my part. Yes. The Arizona Diamondbacks received left-handed reliever AJ Puck. The Marlins received two prospects, Davison De Los Santos and Andrew Pintar. Diamondbacks get a much-needed bullpen help as they are trying to make that help.
They need more than that.
They need much more than that. That is definitely for sure. But it's a good start. They're only one game out of that third wildcard spot. That third wildcard spot, honestly, anywhere in that National League wildcard spot is going to be a bloodbath.
That third wildcard spot is a bloodbath right now. The National League wildcard, as bad as it looks compared to the AL, is just ridiculous. There's like six teams fighting for that one spot, and they're all separated by like two or three games. Yes.
Which is insane. Right now, you got the Braves, you got the Mets, who are a half game back from them. San Diego in the third wildcard spot. A half game behind them, you have St. Louis. A game behind the third wildcard spot is Arizona. And one and a half games out of that wildcard spot is Pittsburgh. And we will bring up Pittsburgh as well, because I do want to mention Paul Skenes.
Wait, I want to mention one thing before Paul Skenes, because I'd be remiss not to mention this. Dylan Cease today.
Oh, yeah, threw no hitter.
No hit Washington. What a game for him. 114 pitches only.
That's
only.
And had to wait an hour to even throw a pitch after first pitch because there was a rain delay.
That, unbelievable. Unreal. Shout out Dylan Cease, second in Padres history.
So let's just throw out some trades here. It has become more likely that the White Sox will trade Garrett Crochet and they will not trade Luis Robert. Robert having a sort of a... I just feel like teams were just trading him based off of his potential. That's kind of just my opinion on it.
Yeah, but why keep him? Are they hoping his value goes up? I mean, I just don't see a point.
I believe his contract. I believe he's a free agent at the end of the year. If I can.
So then why not trade him? They have 77 losses already. Why not move him? They're 0-10 in their last 10. There's no reason they shouldn't clean house here. I don't understand this. You're going to lose guys in free agency. Might as well trade them.
No, he is not a free agent at the end of the year. He has Well, he avoids arbitration all those years. He has a club option in 2026 and 2027 for his age 28 and 29 season. So, still no trade for Luis Robert. Some reports are saying that it's becoming increasingly unlikely that he will get traded. Garrett Crochet, on the other hand, where do you see him going?
I would like to say the Mets, but I don't think they're going to be willing to give it up enough to get him. Are teams willing to give up that much right now? And who needs pitching? Definitely not the Phillies.
The Dodgers?
Left-handed? Everyone could use a left-handed. That's exactly what I was just going to say. Maybe.
The Dodgers?
They got a lot to give up, and this is kind of... They're all in. They're always all in, so...
I know they're always all in, but it seems like that they're always falling apart. It seems like they're falling apart right now. With the pitching staff, Yamamoto.
Well, yeah.
You don't have Shohei. Yeah. You just DFA'd James Paxton. I know you got Clayton Kershaw back. You pitched well today. But was there really... There's really a need for the Dodgers pitching right now because it's becoming an issue. For the first time in hundreds of days. The
Dodgers, God knows how long.
The Dodgers are no longer the favorites to win the World Series. It's the Phillies.
Well, rightfully so, but
yeah,
I don't want to talk about them.
But yeah, so as of right now, teams are, and now this may back off some teams now for Crochet. He is telling his agent, just put out in the media, that if he gets traded to a team, he wants to sign an extension with them. But if he does not sign an extension with that team, he will not pitch for them in the playoffs.
Okay, but then do you see the Dodgers willing? You know, being willing to give him an extension if he does get traded to that. That's where I don't see, because I don't see a need for him if when the guys get healthy. You know what I mean? The staff gets healthy. It's like, do you really need a left hand? I mean, obviously, he's a great pitcher, but I don't know if they give him a long-term deal.
Oh, like, that's a...
Could a team like the O's... The Orioles have a ton to give up.
Yet. That's the thing with the Orioles, too. But here's the thing. Does he warrant as someone who should be like... Give me money or else I'm not playing for you. Because I don't
know.
No,
he's been playing small market ball for a terrible team. I mean, you got to prove yourself first in at least a big market before you're going to get an extension. Because you look at guys like Frankie Montas. Look what happened when he came to the Yankees. Terrible. Sonny Gray came to the Yankees. Terrible. These are big market guys. Look at Max Scherzer. Max Scherzer didn't pitch well for the Mets. Justin Verlander didn't pitch well for the Mets. Yeah, it's. I think you need to find a home first before you get an extension. That's just how it should work. Again, a team that maybe I think... Maybe more likely willing to give him that extension is probably Baltimore. I would say Baltimore is maybe a little more willing.
It's going to be a gut punch. Oh, God, I can't. Another team of
Do the Red Sox make a move?
I don't think they do. I mean,
they're right. Pushing right there.
They just extended Alex Cora. So that definitely means, because Alex Cora was supposed to be a free agent at the end of the season. And if he didn't like what direction the franchise is going towards, going into the offseason, going into the trade deadline even, he wasn't going to sign that extension, and he does. So that's very telling to see.
It makes me think they're going to, to be more buying, and they could use a lefty. I mean, that'd be a good bolster to their rotation.
That's true.
You know, they hit well. I mean, it was Tyler O'Neill, though, had like 20 home runs, 38 RBIs.
Let me check Tyler O'Neill's stats.
Some ridiculous stat like that. It's something ridiculous like that.
At one point, he had something. I mean, he had something like that. They were in college. They just got bitched by the Rockies 20-7. Good God.
Oh, 20-7.
Tyler O'Neill with 20 home runs and 38 RBIs. Holy shit. He's still hitting
It's crazy, right?
He's still hitting 267, though. So he's not. It's not like he's been like home.
It's not him. It's the runners on base. It's crazy. He's just a solo home run machine.
Yeah, that's baseball, Susan. I do want to look at another team, Seattle Mariners. They have the pitcher. They have the bullpen. They don't have the offense.
They need a bat.
They need a bat. They just DFA'd. They just completely cut Ty France. They cut him. Do we see a guy like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. swooping in at first base for Seattle?
Maybe. I know I heard that
because here,
Toronto's little antsy on moving him.
Here's the thing.
They said they didn't want to, they said they didn't really want to move any guys on very long term deals, which kind of rules out him and Bichette. But it's question. I mean, if they get a good offer.
Yeah. Because here's the thing. Seattle makes the playoffs. Already they're a tough out. Castillo, Kirby, Miller. That's a solid, very solid three-man rotation right there.
Yep.
If you're able and you were leading the division the entire time, then all of a sudden, snap of a finger, here are the Astros, who many people declared dead
back
from the dead. Here come the
They put the Mets in. No one's talking about it. They did the same thing the Mets did.
Yes. So, but here's the thing. The Blue Jays won cheap, controllable pitching. Does that mean that Bryce Miller goes in this trade? Does it mean Brian Wu goes in this trade? It's just something to keep in mind because this could be a win for the Blue Jays if you get the young control of pitching, because that's been the issue.
Yeah.
Bassett's been all right. Goldman's been having a big down year.
A guy. Yeah, I think for me, a more suitable option is Ryan McMahon. I think that makes a little bit more sense. That's insane to me. Why would you not? I mean, that's you move him now at his highest value. That's a perfect fit for a team like the Yankees and Seattle. Yeah.
Another guy, and we just mentioned him before, Jonathan India. You could slot him at second base.
Yeah,
you can slot him at DH. Like, there's a lot. We can even name one more. The Rays and the Mariners have been involved in plenty of trades over the years. Randy or Rosarena. Like, there's...
Yeah, wow, yeah, I didn't even think of that.
There's a lot of guys here that maybe could be on the move out west of Seattle. Because, let's all be honest here, Reds and Mariners, fast trading partners with Castillo. The Rays and the Mariners, I can't think of a Rays Mariners trade right now, but I can definitely assume, I would think that they're, I'm trying to think over the years, a Rays Mariners trade. I'm blanking, but I do remember there being a Rays Mariners trade back in the future, but, or back in the past, but there's really... If Seattle,
okay, Rays Mariners. So
Seattle's got a realistic shot to win this.
So you think Yandy Diaz?
That's also a good fit. That's also a good fit with Yandy Diaz at first base.
And but, dude, another guy. The third baseman, whatever his name is. Yeah, that's a guy too.
There's a lot of things here going on right now. I mean,
I just want to ask you two guys real quick, because I don't know what Oakland's real plan is. I don't know if you know, but does Mason Miller and Brett Rooker get, did they get real looks? I know Mason Miller's definitely probably going to get moved. I know he broke his finger and he's out right now, but
even with the broken
finger, two guys.
Even with the broken finger, Buster Olney did report that Mason Miller is out of the conversation, not getting traded for Brent Rooker. I don't know. I really don't know, because you're going into next year and the year after that, new stadium, new location. You want guys to, build around, which, by the way, my mom went to Vegas for work. She saw them building the stadium. It's like right on the strip. It's insane. It's like right on the strip. Yeah. Which is absurd, but it's going to be
amazing. But I know I know what you're saying. That you build a core of guys to, be enticing to get agents.
Brent Rooker, Mason Miller, Lawrence Butler's been on fire as of late for Oakland.
Right, but say a team like Baltimore or someone gives you a great prospect package that you could, potentially come up with all these younger guys you have. I could see him. One foot out the door. I mean, he's a great hitting outfielder. There's a lot of teams that could use him. The Mets could use him. I mean, that would be, I know that's, I'm just saying that's a stretch because they're probably just looking for a fourth outfielder, but everyone's looking for outfield depth. That is a great pickup for someone. Another guy too, that I think maybe could be a Yankee, maybe could be a Met. I think more so Yankee, Jack Flaherty. He's having a great year.
Now, I haven't heard Jack Flaherty's name be thrown around with the Yankees. I've heard his name be thrown around. Not exactly with the Yankees. I wouldn't mind a guy like him.
I think that could work.
It could possibly work. I don't mind that. Again, I'm just trying to think of a starting pitcher. I mean, that would be a surprise move. I know they've been interested in Tyone.
He's,
and They've been interested in Tyone.
He's having a great year, great bounce back year. I think he's cheaper. I think he's easier to get. He's not a one-year deal.
A one-year deal, too.
He's got a 295 right now.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind it. I had nothing on that. I wouldn't mind.
And he's got 11 strikeouts per nine right now.
Yeah, that's actually pretty damn good. Holy shit. Anyway.
Right, and the guy you didn't look at, he's on a one-year deal. I think Yankees could bolster up that rotation. That'd be a great righty pickup for you guys. I'd love him to be a Met, too.
Do they trade Jack Flaherty in division? Have you thought about that?
No, not really. Have you thought about this? Minnesota. Does Tarek Skubal get moved?
I don't think he gets moved. They'd be
Minnesota could be a good fit.
Stupid if they moved him. It would be so dumb if they moved him. Are you kidding me?
It just seems like they're treading water, though.
This is the guy you build around. This is the guy you build around. Okay. This is the guy you.
I get it. They hung around with Verlander for a little while. He left. I know he's you know he's young.
Yeah.
This is one of his first seasons, but just saying, we said before the season. Listen, they started off really hot. It was a little bit of a surprise, and you thought maybe their name would be bouncing around because this division to start the year was fantastic.
Yeah.
Now we're looking at them right now. It just seems like they're treading water. They're doing the same thing they do every single season. Nothing's changed. Torkelson's not doing great. It seems like whatever they had in plan isn't, you know, working out. I don't know if you do a hard reset. Obviously, he's like an A-style pitcher up for Cy Young, but you could get a lot back for him.
You can. But why would you? Because he's the best left-handed pitcher in baseball right now.
Right. But if a team like, I keep bringing him up because they have the most assets, but if a team like Baltimore comes at you with a great deal with some of these younger guys, it's hard to be like, you know, take a look at that. We can't do it because look at what Washington did. Look at that Washington trade. Look how that turned out for them. I know it's Juan Soto, not a pitcher, but you move on Juan Soto, and now they completely rebuilt their lineup with all these young guys from that trade who are now making the majors, and they seem sort of impactful. I know they got no hit tonight, but...
Yeah, but I don't know.
I know.
We'll see. Moving on from trade deadline, going to the Yankees. We talked about that this week. It's just that this team is just not likable.
They're not likable.
They're not likable. It's just.
And they can't hit lefties.
They can't hit lefties. It's just the lineup that they put out that first game. You just knew how it was going to go. And you knew that they were just.
It looked pathetic.
It's pathetic. Jamai Jones leading off a DH. They walk Aaron Judge four times.
Just to strike him out in the ninth inning.
Just to strike him out. This is the Aaron Boone managing tree, ladies and gentlemen. Carlos Mendoza outmanaged Aaron Boone. Like, I just...
Putting on a clinic. He let Jake Diekman throw Aaron Judge in the ninth and it ended up working out. Who the hell?
Tip your cap.
It's Jake Diekman.
Tip your cap to Jake Diekman. At this point, just tip your cap to Jake Diekman. But it's just the lineups just being put out are just so non-competitive. There's no balance.
God, Glaber stinks.
Well, Glaber stinks.
Does Glaber
Glaber's homered in two straight?
But does the fact that he's probably the worst hitter against fastballs in the major league this year worry you whatsoever?
Yeah, it does worry me. It worries me a lot. Like it just. I'm just
and then, but the thing tired. Is, you combat that with a guy like JD Davis, who hasn't hit an off-speed pitch, not even on the Mets. He didn't hit one on the Mets. I mean, he couldn't hit an off-speed when he was with the Mets. He couldn't hit one with the Giants. And you see what happened to him. He struck out three times on off-speed.
That he had in the first game, what swung at every
ugly.
That was an at-bat. Like the Yankees should be embarrassed. And I know that
it looked like Javi Baez.
Yeah, he did look like Javi Baez. It's just that it's just embarrassing to watch. It really is. It's embarrassing.
It's just an embarrassing product on the field. It's such a shame because before Stan gets hurt, you know, before these like Andrews obviously getting Dominguez back at some point, which at this point, if you're really not, I know it's a stretch. Obviously, you're probably going to make the playoffs, but if you're starting to leak and you're looking towards the end of the year and it's not looking great, is there even a rush to bring him back?
What was it, Stanton? Yeah, I mean, I feel like they need to bring him back because...
Dominguez.
I feel like they need him. Honestly, I feel like that they need to call him up because right now, when you think about it, right now, left field's a glaring issue. Left field is a glaring issue right now.
And Britt Rooker.
No. I don't imagine. Oh my God. They got him. Holy shit.
Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be awesome. That would restore the feeling. I'm not kidding. Him in India would just restore the feeling. Work back moment. But I just don't see it. And it just blows my mind how we're hitting JD Davis cleanup. And this was Aaron Boone's quote on if he was surprised that the Mets pitched around Judge all night just to get to JD Davis. His quote was, different teams, different approaches. And this is why different teams, different approaches does not work. Because they will pitch to Rafael Devers, who's got like an 8,000 OPS, and they'll just pray. They will pray to God
that he doesn't hit a home run.
He does not hit a home run and just gets out. It's absurd.
It never happens, though.
Never happens. No matter how high, no matter how low, no matter how far inside, no matter how far outside, he will go yard. That's just where I'm at.
Yeah, every time. Up and away, boom, gone. It's every time.
Every time.
It's management's been poor, bullpen's been poor, and this is a guy I haven't even... I know we're a little off trade line talk, but this is linked with the Yankees. Luis Renfro?
Renifo?
Yeah.
Luis Renifo. I think the Red Sox actually might get him.
That would stink for you, wouldn't it?
It would suck. Well, I'm not really bought in on him. But like, he's a nice utility guy, I will say. It's just like... The thing is, it's like the deadline's true say. The deadline's...
Well, no one's made a move, and that's... The Diamondbacks. Is this like... Right, but is
this going to be like when...
Are we going to see like a powerhouse move from like the Orioles? Or the Orioles wait until the end just to be like, hey, listen, like I know you've heard all these calls from everyone else, but we're gonna give you this, and this instead, which is a much better package, and we still have a deeper farm system. So there's a lot of high ballers here. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting Tuesday. That's for damn sure. It feels like the NHL trade deadline.
We do a trade deadline special. Like right after
this. Yeah, on Tuesday? Yeah, why not? But that's the thing. If anyone even gets moved. Anyway, I mean, nothing's happened yet.
It depends on what happens with some of this food, but this is really it might turn out to be forever after the lockout. Remember when everyone was just like signing early before the lockout, and it's like everyone just knew what was gonna happen, and everyone was just signing with teams.
Oh yeah, and you called me, and you were furious that you didn't sign Correa or shortstop or Turner or.
Yeah, we didn't sign a shortstop. Yeah, and then remember when like the lockout happened and all these people were free agents, so then it just turned into oh my god, the lockout's over. This is gonna turn because like the whole thing was like okay yeah like everyone's tampering because like the players could talk to the teams and like all this
yeah
so it literally turns into it literally was like oh my god if this is over like everyone's just gonna start signing like no one signed for like another like 5 days after the lockout was over.
blame Scott Boras.
Yeah, thanks Scott Boras. And then the big move of the day was Gary Sanchez and Gio Urshela.
I remember how happy you were.
I was sad about Gio. I was more so happy about Gary Sanchez.
Yeah, you were hyped for IKF. Now that we're back to IKF, because I was going to mention this. Do you miss him a little bit? Would that be a nice somewhat seven-hitter feud, at least to get on base?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No way. I could not handle another.
You didn't like his 268 average?
I could not handle another day with IKF at center field. Like, that was just, like, so... I just, like...
Well,
I just...
Well, why are you even putting them
there? Why are you asking me? I'm not the one that fucking put him out there.
I don't... But I'm just saying, like, it just sounds so stupid. You're like, oh, not you, but I'm just... In general, it's like, oh, we're going to play IKF in center.
We just like felt bad for the guy, so we just started taking outfield reps all of a sudden. I was like, okay, all right, you're our center fielder now.
Try to pull a Tatis.
I couldn't. Like, imagine just like him. Like, I can't even like think about it now because he's not on the team anymore. But can you just like imagine him in like a high leverage situation? It's like a fly ball to center. He's got to throw somebody out and like gun him at the plate. The guy had no arm whatsoever.
It ain't happening.
It wasn't happening. Like, it's
how was he a catcher?
How was he a catcher? Like, they never.
It didn't make any sense.
That's why I was like, why are we trading for this guy? I'm like, oh, he's a national catcher. So now our catching room was going to be IKF and Kyle Higashioka. And they're like, no, this guy's our shortstop. I'm like, he's won a gold glove at third base, and you just traded your third baseman for an aging third baseman.
And a catcher that you're going to play at shortstop,
who won a gold glove at third base. And then for whatever reason, late at center field. I will never forget the disaster of the 2022 postseason that they, like, they literally were just like, oh my God. Like, we just can't play him at shortstop anymore. And then they threw Oswald Peraza out there. First pitch at the top of the bottom of the inning. Altuve hits a laser. Peraza dives and makes the play. I will never forget that. And now we have him running Triple A. Like,
what a world.
I can't even fathom.
I remember the debate. Was it going to be him or Volpe? I remember for a while, like, why even get rid of him?
That was a big topic. Is it going to be him or Volpe? And speaking of prospects, I mean, if we're bringing him up right now, I wouldn't mind getting rid of Spencer Jones. I'll say it.
That's a lot of value.
If it gets us Jonathan India, I will gladly take Spencer Jones. Gladly.
Now, would you move a guy like him, Dominguez, and something else?
I'm not moving Dominguez.
So you don't want Tarik Skubal?
I do not. Like, what? They're not going to trade for him. No one's going to trade for him.
I'm just saying, hypothetically.
Get that out of your head.
If he gets moved on Tuesday, I'm pulling this back up.
Fuck it. Yeah, pull this shit back up. I'll fucking take responsibility for it. It's just that right now, I don't see a reason why they moved Tarik Skubal. He is the only reason why the fans' asses are in their seats.
Okay. All right. Only when he's pitching, and they still have, 40 wins? I mean,
what's their record right now?
Come on.
I'm gonna pull this up. Texas Rangers are 51-53. They're 5.5 out of the top wild card spot. Or no, they are 5.5 out of the third wild card spot, sorry. Oh, yeah, I just...
The Rangers? Look at the Tigers.
Yeah, that's what I said, the Tigers. Did I say the Rangers?
Oh, what are they? Yeah. What'd you say they are?
The Tigers are 51-53 and 5.5 out of the third wild card spot.
Blow it up. They're not getting it.
Blow it up. Like, who do they even have? I know they have...
No one.
Is Riley Green.
Is Torkelson even playing?
He's still in AAA. Reese Olson's good. Casey Mize, Oh How the Mighty Have Fallen. If Chafin.
Oh How the Mighty Have Fallen.
Yeah, really? Holy shit. What a drop off. Yeah, like, this team isn't fucking good. Javi Baez. I'm so.
They're terrible. Yeah, they're horrible.
That's insane. All right. Let's go to football.
Sure. Well, real quick, we can talk about this Mets team real quick.
Just completely forgot.
You're a little too excited there. Just real quick. It's nothing crazy. They're unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Every guy in their lineup can hit, and it's just unbelievable. I've never seen a Mets team hit like this, ever.
That's
such
a luxury, just having every guy in your lineup.
I know. I've never seen anything like this before. It's top to bottom. I never feel. I am never like we're never out of it. Like you, even with the 9 hitter up, it's just like, oh, is it Tyrone Taylor? Oh, never mind. Wait, he just hit 2 home runs. Like it's unbelievable with this team. It really is. And you know, going into the year, obviously the lineup was supposed to be the big thing. This is what was going to keep us at 500, maybe get us to playoff push because of how good they were going to be able to hit. But the starting pitching's been pretty good too. David Peterson's 5-0.
Yes.
I mean. Severino's having almost a comeback player of the year type of year. Manaea's been more than serviceable.
Ready for this? The graphic on ESPN that they showed at the game yesterday between the Yankees and the Mets.
Yeah.
Hitters with a 100 OPS plus or better between the Yankees and the Mets. Tim, can you name all 4 Yankees with a 100 OPS plus or better?
Like, and is Stanton involved? Or
Stanton
no?
Stanton is involved in this.
Okay, so is it Stanton, Judge, Soto, and Ben Rice? I mean, I can't even.
Judge, Soto, Stanton, Rice. Now, Tim, and there's no such thing as a guessing game here. These are the hitters with a 100 OPS plus on the Mets or better. Jose Iglesias, Mark Vientos, Francisco Alvarez, Brandon Nemo, Jamie Martinez, Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, Starling Marte, Harrison Bader. That's 10 players.
Is that tied for most in the league?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's unbelievable. Probably with the Phillies.
I don't understand. I don't understand. And like,
right, it's Jeff, and you know what, Stan? The thing is,
too. Like,
that's the thing. McNeil's probably on the way there. They got McNeil, and you're gonna get Marte back. Kodai Senga starts tomorrow. First start of the year is tomorrow. The Ghost Fork comes back tomorrow. Everything's looking up right now. If they win tomorrow, they take the first NL wild card. Then they have the last game in the series. Even if they lose, they still have the first wild card. The fact that this team was 13 games under 500, and now they're playing for the first wild card tomorrow night with their ace who hasn't started a game. It's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable to me. And Lindor's in the 2020 club right now. Him and Shohei, only two in the league right now.
To think on March 30th, we were like, it's just like, it's like a completely different team. If you were to tell me March 30th, we saw them throw in Reese Hoskins, that's number one. If you were to tell me back in June, the same team that had motherfucking Jorge Lopez throw his glove throw his fucking glove into the stands. If you were to ask me, and then all of a sudden they get Jose Iglesias, he comes out with a song that I did not know existed, and now here they are.
Oh my God.
Here they come. Here comes Catalita and the New York Mets. I'm just like all in on that.
And Iglesias, and Iglesias is batting 380.
Yeah, like, don't understand.
It's
like, is it like,
and
is it coaching?
Yes, it's
like, I just it, like,
it's chemistry. They are chemistry. Clicking together as a team.
Right now,
they're clicking together as a team.
Right now, you look at the Mets compared to the Yankees, and not by like stats or like who's better. Like, you just look at vibes. Okay, you look at straight vibes.
It's completely different.
Completely different. It's like the Yankees. They're just so arrogant. I'm sorry. They're just arrogant. They act like that they are the standard of baseball when they right now. For the past 10, 15 years, they have not been the standard. They have been nowhere near the standard of the sport. Nowhere near. Oh, like, the beard on my face right now. The beard on my face. Who knows what would happen to me? Who knows? Like, that's the thing. It's like, teams don't want to play for you. Like, you had to...
No.
Like... The play, like the opening day lineup, nobody signed with you. I mean, Stroman, but nobody signed with you in the opening day lineup. Let me go. Hang on. Volpe, Farmhand, Soto, traded for him. Judge, Farmhand.
Traded for him.
Verdugo, traded for him. Stanton, traded for him. Glaber, traded for him / Farmhand. Who else am I missing here?
LeMahieu.
Well, he didn't start opening day, but yeah.
Rizzo.
Rizzo traded for Cabrera. Farmhand.
Yeah. Are they losing some of their aura? Is it starting to feel like that a little bit? I mean, I'm just saying, like, you could.
I you mentioned.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Aura's mentioned it by what I saw.
There you go. But you look at the Mets. They're hitting. It's not even like they're just having fun. They win 3-2. They're having fun.
Yeah, like
he has.
Yeah, has George not? Has George?
He has. So is Cashman.
Cashman never had fucking aura. Shut up. He was.
Well, I mean, go a few years back.
He gifted a team that had four of the most talented baseball players in the planet. Like, shit.
All right. Well, you can't blame a guy for that. I mean,
I'm being serious. The only team that Brian Cashman like built and succeeded with was the 2009 Yankees. Only team that he's ever succeeded with. And for whatever reason, because we previewed with a team that he had no business being involved with, he is somehow like a part of the Steinbrenner family now. The fact that this man, and I can say whatever the fuck I want, because I don't care. I fucking hate Brian Cash with all my heart. He's up there with my hate Maris. I might go, he might jump my hate for the Maris if I go Cashman Maris. Not kidding. Absurd.
That's crazy.
Absurd. Ugh. If I say more, I'm just gonna.
It's just a complete flip of the switch. I mean, the Mets are having fun. The Yankees are struggling. Hopefully, they can figure it out. We'll see what happens after this deadline. Yeah. It's more baseball to come, but not a lot.
I'm still under wave.
Schedule gets easy though for the Yankees. Other than this week, sucks. Let's be real, this week sucks. But after this week,
I'm just gonna say right now, Spencer Jones had a golden sombrero in his game today.
Brett Beatty has like 6 home runs in his last 3 games in AAA. But
I'm not sold on Spencer Jones. Also, if you trade Spencer Jones, it shows the fans that you are all in on finding trade for Juan Soto.
Yeah. Well,
did I say trade?
Mets fans.
Juan Soto.
No, keep it. Yes, I know what you meant. Yeah. But Mets fans, don't get mad at me, but Brett Beatty's value right now is super high because the next time he gets pulled to the majors, he's going to bat 190. So I say we move him at the deadline and maybe get a pitcher for a guy who clearly doesn't have a spot on this team.
Just like flourish in Syracuse, which is just very weird to say.
It's crazy. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter who it is. But once they go to Syracuse, they become like the best baseball player on the goddamn planet. And you saw it with Mauricio, you saw it with Vientos, you're seeing it with Beatty, even when JD was down there for rehab. Yeah. I mean, it's they just crush baseballs.
Unbelievable. Oh, I forgot about this guy. Where is he playing? I'm sorry, I just like completely.
He's at NC State. What's his face on Tyler? What's his face on Miami? The relief pitcher, not Anderson. Tanner Skye, I don't know why I thought Tyler, whatever. Could sleep it on the name. But, well, where do you think he ends up?
I would like to see the Yankees get him. They'd be now, better than roughies.
My issue with him is his walk rate. He struggles to find the zone sometimes. Do you think that sort of values him a little bit less? I don't know. I don't know what a trade for him sort of looks like.
Matt Blake is the doctor. Anything that Matt Blake, it's very difficult for Matt Blake to, like, not fix something. If he's able to fix the walk rate, I think we'll be okay. I think we'll be okay with that.
All right. All right.
I think we'll be all right. All right. Moving on to football. Oh, yeah, baby. Training camp started this week.
Rogers to Wilson. Touchdown. Wilson. That was sick. First play of the drive. I saw that.
That's all I'm seeing.
That was a nuke.
That's all I'm seeing. I feel like for the first time in a while, two of our teams are very completely different points of view. Going into the season, I'm going into the season with no expectations at all. You're going into the season with the highest of expectations. Should be
Super Bowl expectations.
Super Bowl expectations. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And when's the last time we said that about the fucking Jets? 2011, when they won in Foxborough.
Yeah, that's honestly what I think. Yeah, they almost won in Indianapolis. Training camp got off to a rough start for the Giants. You saw that video of Daniel Jones overthrowing that check down. That was bad. One of our star offensive linemen that we signed, who hadn't missed a game in like 2.5 years, got hurt first like play.
Dude, I'm sorry. What is the bright spot for the year? I can't even. Okay. The defensive line?
I mean, yeah, the defensive line. Yeah, the pass rush is a top 10 pass rush in the sport.
But I know, but like that's.
Here's the thing.
It stinks to say because that's what I'm used to. I'm used to it too, but is that all you're looking forward to?
I mean, and you can tell from just. Here's the thing. You can tell from just like watching the Hard Knocks episodes. You can tell from like the way they talk about it. It seemed like plan A in the draft was to literally like trade up for day-to-day with a great day. Like that was their plan.
Oh, I know. Like, and also that Saquon didn't know that phone call was recorded. Yeah. So they're off to a great start.
Man, fuck him. I'm telling you, when he comes back, it's going to be like Chase Utley 2015 NLCS booze. Like,
oh, fuck him though, because really, fuck him. You don't even need fuck. Roman Tejada was probably having the hottest hitting streak of his life in that playoff series. That guy was ready to go end on end for this team. That would have pushed us over the Royals. We would have won. But no, you got to take out his knee and ruin his career. So
wait, you're saying Ruben Tejada and not, you know, Daniel Murphy, who just disappeared?
All right. Well, he got us there. I mean,
I got you there. You know what's even funnier? When you guys played the Cubs that year, he was like going off, hit home run after home run after home run. And this was during the curse for the Cubs. And I know we're back to baseball already, but this is a very interesting story. And this is what I think broke the curse, because the Cubs won the World Series next year. Do you know what the GOAT's name was? Like,
was it Daniel?
It was Murphy. The GOAT's name was
Murphy. Oh, really?
Yeah. And Murphy.
I did not know that.
Ass against the Cubs. And then all of a sudden.
Broke the curse.
That's what broke the curse. That's my
thing. Yeah. He also kicked ass against the Dodgers. To throw that in there.
And then also made a crucial error. It was a game.
Oh, Lucas Duda. Yeah. Whatever, because the Duda one really boils my blood. I mean, just throw it home. I could make the throw to home play. How do you hit the backstop? Just throw it home.
just throw it home.
All those games are like one run games too, which makes me even more mad because like they were just stupid errors.
I just saw something on Twitter. This guy tweeted, "Watching Entourage as an adult is realizing Vincent Chase really only had one banger. All his other flicks stink." And then someone pretending to be drama just goes, "Eyes gross and filled with all time, bro." Not so fast.
Come on. What do you mean? I'm sorry. Queens Boulevard wasn't a banger. Yeah. You didn't see that at Sundance? I mean, that was...
Ferrari? Do you know who we have to get on?
What are we doing?
Who we have to get on one of these days? Because this guy's like a big New York sports fan. He's very active and blur. We have to get Jerry Ferrara on the show at one point.
I was literally... That is so funny. That was the exact guy I was going to say. I'd be fine doing that.
I want Turtle on the show. I cannot. And like, here's the thing. Like, I always do this with shows. So it's not just because like the content of the show. It's just like me being lazy. I am the king of starting a show and then just like stop watching for 5 months, completely forget about the plot point of where I'm at in the show, and then just continue, and then just keep on going.
Start where I'm back.
Like, I ran back Entourage the other day. I mean, I'm on like the sixth season. I know I have like two seasons to go. I just haven't had the energy. The episode that I was on was the one that Tom Brady was in.
Oh my God. I think the golf outing?
One of the best episodes.
Yeah, oh my God, drama. What is this? What is this, custom? Oh, this is nice.
Oh my God. That's when
snaps it. It's a charity event too. It's so funny when he throws Lloyd. He's like, go get this one.
I love Lloyd. Lloyd's the best character in the show.
Run to the next tee box. He starts swinging the club at him. Well, get to the next tee box.
Get to the next one. Yeah, but anyway, we saw that bad throw by Daniel Jones. That was pretty bad. Illuminor got hurt with the bruised rib, and he'll be okay. Day two, however, very different. Daniel Jones makes a nice throw to Taylor Hyatt. Makes a nice throw to Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers makes a great catch. I'm very excited to see Malik Nabers. I will say this. Get ready for the year two breakout of Jalen Hyatt, because it's going to be awesome. This could be awesome.
I don't know what that looks like, though, in this offense.
Not this offense, because it's a well-structured offense. I don't know how this is going to look like with who's throwing the football to them.
All right. Well, that's really my main point, is now we're in the air-and-out era. It's your offense is your quarterback, yeah, pretty your much. I mean, whoever you got back there is about half the problem.
It's a passing league. It's a passing league. Like, let's all be serious.
Yeah, it is.
Anything from Jack Camp set that you want to mash him?
No, I mean, there hasn't really been anything crazy. I know Rodgers, I know Sauce Gardner and Garrett Wilson were doing one-on-ones today, which, I mean, look, come on. Iron sharpens iron, boys. Let's two of the best going at it. Rodgers and Garrett have been connecting. They, there's really not much. This team is kind of sort of what it was last year. There's a little bit, you know, a little bit bolstered on the defense, which is crazy to say because this could be the best defense in football. I have such high expectations. I think this is really it. I mean, this is not it, but this is the year. This is, if everything goes right, Rodgers stays healthy.
So now,
this is a scary team.
Are you Super Bowl or bust? Or are you like, hey, we make the playoffs and whatever we do is just gravy? Because you haven't made it there in so long.
Stan, Jets haven't made the playoffs in like 13 years. Just make the fucking playoffs.
Okay,
I just
make the fucking playoffs. All right, okay. I'm
sorry. Make the fucking playoffs. I know. I'm just laughing at myself because it's like Super Bowl or bust, but this they haven't made the playoffs in fucking 13 years. Just make the playoffs, please.
First, and then go from there. And then go from there.
We'll go from there. We'll go from there because it's oh god. Just make the playoffs, please. I'm so sick of this. I just want to watch playoff football. I never get to root for my team in the playoffs ever. It never happens. It just never happens.
I mean, yeah. The last time my team was in the playoffs, I wouldn't. Here's the thing. I would not wish this.
You beat the Vikings.
I would beat the Vikings, but here's, I was on a plane. So, like, I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy, not knowing the result of the game. Like, there were no TVs, no Wi-Fi,
all right.
Nothing. And I was like ready to.
Stan, I was like fucking 7 last time they won a playoff game.
Fair enough. All right. Let's go to college football. We're start with the Big Ten. This is our Big Ten football preview. Get excited. This is a new year of college football, 12 team playoff.
Fuck Ohio State.
The video game came out. Tim is a Big Ten fan now. Big Ten football fan,
yeah.
Right here.
Yeah, yeah. And how does Ohio State get this cakewalk of a schedule?
You haven't seen Will Howard play quarterback. That's all. Fair enough.
Haven't
seen Will Howard play quarterback.
I'm excited to see Dylan fucking Gabriel, Stan. I'm excited.
So let's get started. New conference realignment, all that. The Big Ten. Let me look up my preview because I literally had it and then lost it.
You see that UCLA press conference? That was brutal.
That was in my what I saw. The poor guy. I kind of feel bad.
This is brutal. It wasn't good.
I kind of feel bad. I feel really terrible. Okay. So let's just get started. New teams to the Big Ten: Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA. But missing anybody else? No, that's it. They just added 4 teams, right?
It's just the 4, isn't it?
Just the 4.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I think. Yeah. Okay, we're going to preview team by team. First off, I just think that Tim's really going to just mention Oregon here. Maybe Ohio State, Michigan.
Well, I'm just keep itching. I'm just excited, Stan. I mean, this is a good team. We got the Ducks. You know what, I'm excited, Stan? Because when the Ducks choke the last 2 games of the year, we're still making the playoffs. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. When they lose to Oregon State and they lose to Washington in the last 2 games of the year, I'm okay with that.
I wouldn't want to lose to Oregon State. Well, you do play.
It happens every time.
That's for, I wouldn't want to lose to Oregon State this year because that is a very bad loss. Okay. The 18 teams in a conference is just absurd. Let's just go with it. The worst team in the Big Ten this year is probably going to be the Purdue Boilermakers. Ryan Walters lost big key contributors. Big Ten sack leader Nick Scorton, Deion Burks, who is their best wide receiver. They do bring back their quarterback, Hudson Card. They need a lot more for a defense that allowed more than 30 a game, which is, especially in the Big Ten, where it's all like, you know, battling for field position. Not going to cut it in this era of Big Ten football. Next up, the other Indiana team, the Indiana Hoosiers. They bring in a new head coach, Kirk Cignetti from the JMU.
Go Dukes.
Go Dukes. most recent, brings over several players. I think he brought over he did have 11 players. I just read my notes wrong. He brings over players from an 11th team. They could surprise some defenses after bringing in University of Ohio transfer Kurt Swark. Again, first year, looking to rebuild. Not really expecting much from this Indiana team. Next up, Northwestern. They went 8-5 last year in a year full of controversy. The defense should be a strength. Eight starters back, but it might be hard for now second-year head coach David Braun to repeat an 8-win season, especially when you're going up against the likes of USC and Oregon and all that. And there's such a big question at the quarterback position. Northwestern, it was fun. It was fun.
It's Northwestern football. Come on.
Next up, one of the new teams, UCLA. Shaw Foster steps in for Chip Kelly and the former running back for the Bruins, Shaw Foster. He's well known to the program. All 9 expected starters return to this roster after a lot of talent left, including the offensive line. Not only is the offensive line a big concern, the secondary is one as well. And we also that press conference. Oh my god, that was terrible.
Horrible.
Did he think that they were like unknown to GM? Like, I get like the Big Ten is like, you know, yeah, Michigan and Ohio State would be different ends of the country, but like, do they think that they're just like uneducated? Like, you know, we're in California, we're in LA, close to USC. Like, that's literally what he said. For those who didn't see it, like,
I don't know. He was just so lethargic.
Yeah, and it's just funny because like, coaches have like their opening statements at media days. The best was Mike Leach, where they were like, "All right, ladies and gentlemen, Mississippi State head coach Mike Leach." And he's like, "All right, appreciate you guys. Questions?" that was his opening statement. He was like, "Yeah, questions? All right, no." Next up, the Illinois Fighting Illini. They put up over 24 points a game over a year ago. The defense did let them down, though, allowing 30 points a game, and now they lose Johnny Newton, their best player in the NFL. The offense also lost their top receiver in Isaiah Williams as well, not really expecting much from the Illini. Next up, the Golden Gophers of Minnesota. They lost coordinator Joe Wostey, while P.J. Fleck, their head coach, makes a change of quarterback with transfer Max Rosmer, stepping into basically resurge a unit that put up under 19 points a game. The offense.
Listen, Stan, let's just leave it at this. Ready?
Hold on, wait. They are favored in their week one game against North Carolina.
Okay, let me just say this. You're a great hockey school. That's it. That's all I got to say.
You're a great hockey school. Next up, we have Michigan State. A lot of controversy last year. Mel Tucker leaving due to those allegations. The regime change brings in Jonathan Smith as head coach. He also lost key defensive personnel to the portal. He brings in quarterback Aiden Childs, it's a big, you know, low-risk, high-reward quarterback. They're kind of just starting him off of potential. If he's able to, you know, grow into his own here in East Lansing, I think they, not this year, but definitely a year or two from now, we could be remembering the name.
Yeah, this is going to be a similar. It's going to be like the same thing as last year for them. I don't see anything crazy.
Next up, the Maryland Terrapins, the departure of Talia Tagovailoa means they lose the all-time leader in Big Ten passing yards, and
it also means
all five offensive.
It's linemen. Over.
And all five offensive linemen from last year's team are gone, but they do have a promising front seven. All the guys from that front seven last year returns. There's a big question at quarterback, and they don't necessarily have the answer right now. We'll find out soon. Next up.
They won't have the answer.
How does it feel? Wait, that you gotta root against Rutgers. Oh my god, imagine.
You know what, Stan?
Wait, Oregon goes to Piscataway. We gotta go.
Oh my gosh, yes, 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 because me and Matt have been dying to go to a Rutgers game. I didn't even think about that. Yes. Stan, and here's what all I got to say about rooting against Rutgers. It won't happen, all right? All I'll be rooting for is the spread that game, because Rutgers kind of, at least for both of us, has kind of sunk in and is like, all right, I grew up in New York. I'm a little bit of, I got some Jersey scum in me. Like, Rutgers is, it's, come on. It's Rutgers football. I mean, it's just a hometown thing here. I absolutely love Rutgers. I love Rutgers football. I don't know what happened last year, Stan, But it was a complete flip. They just, something in my head switched. I was like, I gotta like Ruckus. I don't know what it is, but I gotta like Ruckus.
But anyway,
Are you? Are you?
Ruckus is able to, like, you know, put up a fight in the Big Ten, and finally put up a fight. I beat, like, make a bowl game. You got the basketball team too.
They put up a fight every game, Stan. That spread. That spread's money.
The Scataway could be a busty place. I might have to check out. Might have to go to the Jersey.
No, we have to go. We have to go to a game. We're going to a game.
I want to go to a basketball game. See frippin' Dylan Harper.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper too, but you know, I want to go to that gridiron, Stan, where it all started for us.
People are in these trenches. Anyway,
I am Rutgers football.
They bring in Minnesota transfer Ethan Cully and Vannis.
Am I the only guy when I booted up NCAA 25, the first team I played with was the Rutgers Scarlet Knights?
I think you might have been. I mean, I'm the only guy. I think I'm the only guy on Earth. As soon as I downloaded the game, I just like bought the dynasty that started James Madison at Charlotte.
The first thing I did was play a game online as Rutgers. No tier. I got smoked by Oklahoma. I just stopped playing, but it was Rutgers for a minute. I had one nice drive.
I beat Alabama with Colorado online. That's. I think.
Well, they got some playmakers. Rutgers. Rutgers. Who's really making the moves in that Rutgers offense?
Making moves in that Rutgers offense is Ethan Kelly and Mac.
The run game.
I mean, well, here's the thing. The problem was the passing game. They go ahead and get themselves a nice quarterback in the transfer portal from Minnesota. Ethan Kelly and Kalief Manis. One starting job. He could revive the passing offense. They return 8 starters on a defensive hill. The opponent's 23 points a game.
Stan, if they go on some miracle playoff run, I'm gonna lose my mind. But if they do, say they win like 12 games, and we're like a 12 seed in this playoff format, they're like 11, and we're like,
picture the CBS college football music, and it's undefeated Oregon, one more win, and their playoff hopes are destined in their way. The 5-6 Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
You know what would be even funnier, Stan? If it was a Rutgers Oregon game and it was either whoever wins is in somehow, it's just that I'd be sitting on the couch. I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm not torn here. I just want someone to win.
Next up, by the way, the Wisconsin Badgers, they bring in Miami transfer quarterback Tyler Van Dyke.
No ruckus.
Oh my god. Is Tyler Van Dyke the guy? That is the question. He struggled at Miami, got to some points where he was benched. Can he put the offense on his back? They lose Braylon Allen to the Jets, right? Braylon Allen's Jet?
Yeah. Yes,
Braylon Allen is a Jet, and the defensive front lost some depth. They have a very tough schedule, especially in the non-conference. Alabama goes to Camp Randall this year, which would be very interesting. That's gonna be a fun game to watch. Next up, I have Nebraska. Nebraska, three of the Cornhuskers' four attackers returned on a defense that was 11th nationally in production. They bring in 5-star freshman, the number one quarterback in the nation, was committed to USC, I believe. He decommitted, ended up going to Nebraska. He should give a jolt to an offense whose leading rusher was their quarterback last fall. So the protection should be there. Nebraska needs more from its receivers, but I think it's a good start to have a quarterback to build around for your program. Next up, Washington Huskies. Talk about turnover. DeBoer gone. Penix gone. Batunze gone. You bring in Jed Fish, who's the head coach of Arizona, led them to an Alamo Bowl win. Brings in some promising transfers. Will Rogers, gunslinger quarterback, but otherwise they return 2 starters from last year's team and are gutted on the offensive line in the front 7. It shouldn't I'm not going into high expectations with them.
I wouldn't either.
Next up, Iowa. They should play strong defense again, even after losing Cooper DeGene, but with 8 starters coming back. Their new play caller, Tim Lester, faces a pretty big order trying to revive that unit, but they do get quarterback and former Michigan quarterback Kate McNamara recovered from injury, and they also get Luke Boucher at tight end back. Iowa, they're producing their tight ends. Remember George Kittle, Iowa.
No, I know. I'm sorry. I was just like about a burp, and then I didn't want to like burp and like.
This team's interesting. Next up, USC. Alex Grinch is out of the picture.
Are they though? Well, are they interesting?
They're interesting because they fired the defensive coordinator, Alex Grinch, who was followed Lincoln Riley everywhere, is gone. It's out of the picture. He is replaced by De'Anton Lynn, the defensive coordinator who led UCLA's defense, the number 10 defense in the country. He is charged with resurrecting this Trojans. He's charged with resurrecting the disaster on defense. While Lincoln Riley works his quarterback magic with Miller Moss into, hopefully, he is a credible replacement for Caleb Williams. I will say, though, that first game is going to be very rough. They were trying to get out of that game. They play LSU in Vegas week one, and it's going to be a disaster. LSU is just going to stop the floor with them. It's going to be so bad. They've tried to get out of that game.
They weren't, USC wasn't even good last year with Caleb Williams. I don't see much too much of an adjustment this year.
Really. Next up, I have Michigan. This is a... I'm not too big on Michigan this year. It's so many guys gone.
They're not the same team.
McCarthy gone. Blake Corum gone. All these guys are done.
Harbaugh.
Harbaugh gone. Sharon Moore won 4 games at his interim a year ago during the Harbaugh suspension. And despite losses at receiver and off the line, they do bring back Donovan Edwards, and they do bring back defenders in Kenneth Grant, Mason Brand, and Will Johnson. Is Alex Orji the guy at quarterback? I wouldn't say so. I don't think he necessarily fits the system of... He doesn't look like a system quarterback, if you know what I mean. Orji's more of a scrambler, throws in the run. McCarthy was kind of more of a system quarterback at Michigan, so we'll see.
Kind of. He was a system quarterback. Are you kidding?
Next up, I have Penn State. These were one of the teams that the extended playoff helps out the most. They return a bulk of elite defenders and their top 2 rushers from last year's team. But here's the thing. It comes down to the quarterback play. And if Drew Aller, Tim, you have not experienced Drew Aller. Drew Aller against Michigan on a drive. Penn State ran a flea flicker. Usually those work. Try and guess what happened. Try and guess what happened on that flea flicker.
He fumbled? No. What?
Intentional grounding.
How does that even end? Just throw it away. Get out of the pocket.
Intentional grounding. Intentional. Yep. I don't know. Drew Aller's just got to be. He's just got to be better. He has to be better. He's got to be. Next up, I have Ohio State. Facing pressure to end a 3-game losing streak against Michigan. They're armed with a roster that past coaches have deemed as to be the best roster in Ohio State history. Returning skill on the defensive line, running back, you got Caleb Downs, who is definitely going to be the best player in the draft. I don't care where he's picked, he's going to be the best player in the draft. You get Will Howard. Did I say Will Howard or Will Rogers when talking about Ohio State?
Howard.
Did I say Howard? Okay. No, not when you, before you were like, Ohio State's cupcake scandal. Like, did I say Will Rogers?
I don't remember.
I'll look back on it.
I don't remember.
They have Will Howard and Quinshon Jenkins. This team's going to be insane. But a team that might be even better. The Oregon Ducks.
The fucking Ducks, baby.
The Oregon Ducks.
They're loaded. They're loaded.
This is a loaded team. I will say. This is a loaded team. And now
Tez Johnson's gonna have a good year. They got that transfer from A&M receiver, Evan Stewart.
They also got a corner from Washington.
They got that quarterback from Washington, yep. Jamar something. Can't think of his last
the
name.
Offense that posted 531 yards and scored 44 points a game a year ago. They bring back one of the nation's best receiving core. They get Dylan Gabriel to lead a unit that should get the better of the Big Ten defenses. Turnover on defense is something to watch. I don't necessarily think the pass rush is as great as it once was.
Nope. It's definitely the question mark. It definitely is.
Pass rush is a question mark, or if you're able to win games on offense. But hey, we'll take a 48-45 win. I could imagine.
I have no problem with that. Do they average 500 yards per game last year? I mean, I think they'll figure it out all right. Dylan Gabriel's the number one quarterback in the nation. Am I wrong? Is he? The last time.
I believe he's the favorite.
The last time, and know this, he is the favorite. Now, the last time a Heisman favorite won the Heisman was back when Marcus Mariota won it. So keep that in the back of your mind.
Okay. But I feel like there's a much more talented quarterback class, because we all know the Heisman's just a fucking quarterback award.
Yes. But the stats are gonna be hella inflated with how good this offense is.
I like Quinn Ewers. I like Milroe. I'll say it. I like Jalen Milroe. I'm gonna say it. I like Jalen Milroe this year.
Shadori Sanders.
Why do you call Shadori? Shador.
Shador. I don't know why I always say that.
Shador Sanders.
Those
suck.
The leader of the 4-8 whatever 4-win team Colorado. They're gonna stink.
They are gonna go. Their win total is 5.5.
They won 4 games last year.
Won 4 games. I mean, we could flip through. Or we could just have a college football special episode, but. Honestly, let's look at that Colorado schedule now. Now curious all of a sudden. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, they're a 5-win team. I have them beating North Dakota State, Colorado State, Baylor, Cincinnati, Kansas. 4 wins. Or no, 5 wins, sorry.
Wasn't the game against Colorado State last year close?
Yeah. But I feel like it's just like a complete... I feel like it's just like one of those stories where it's just like hyped up for like no reason, and like Colorado just like wipes it.
Imagine Colorado State takes it, though. That would be such a gut punch.
CBS got it. Oh, that's interesting.
The Colorado State game?
CBS got it this year. Oh, because Colorado State's not the most team. Not West football is...
It's at Colorado State, right?
Yes, it's at Colorado State. For whatever reason, the game used to be at where the Broncos play, and now they don't even play there anymore, which is kind of stupid in my opinion.
Hands in the air, but that might be let's look at Colorado State spread money line type day.
Colorado State.
Just saying.
Colorado State is at Colorado State. Colorado is actually favored by 7.5. The Nebraska game should be interesting. I feel like it's kind of like a Dylan Rayo coming out party, but that's going to be on NBC. Wow. Oh, my God. It's going to be weird. Speaking of networks.
Of course, they got all the big games, dude.
Yeah. Well, speaking of NBC and all that, moving on to what I saw. It's over. The NBA.
Oh, TNT.
TNT is over. And I know Nick Vance would like fucking celebrate him right now. And honestly, rightfully so. They always shat on the Knicks all the time. So really, it's kind of...
They never say anything good about the Cavs, so...
Yeah, you know what? I mean...
I don't even think they've never talked about Cleveland.
Oh, it'll be like good riddance, but yeah. But what this does mean now is there's going to be nationally televised NBA games all 7 days of the week at one point during the calendar year. If I'm not mistaken.
I guess that's cool, but Inside the NBA was just like something you could legit just turn on. Yes. Like you could just put that on.
You could just throw it.
Like you didn't have to watch it. Yeah, you don't have to watch NBA like the games at all. It'd be like 1 a.m. and you're just like, oh well, Inside the NBA's on.
I'm trying to like find TV schedule 2025. So yes. So here's what the new TV deal means. Mondays. Here we go. Monday, there will be a Peacock doubleheader every Monday. That's big. I like that.
Wow.
I like that. Gives me something to watch. Gives me something to look forward to. Next up,
some juice.
Tuesday, NBC will air two games on regional affiliates. Okay, I like it. So, like, Tuesday night Knicks on NBC. I like it. I like how, like, basketball's coming back on NBC now, and that, like, the Knicks are good, and I feel like that song always resembles with the 90s Knicks. So, I'm liking it. Like, vibes.
Bring the NHL back.
Like, in the vibes. Wednesday, ESPN will air its usual doubleheaders. So, the 7:30, 10 o'clock, whatever. That's always been a thing. Thursday, Amazon will begin airing primetime games in January after Thursday night football. Okay. I like it. I like
it. Okay.
Friday.
I still hate that it's on Amazon.
I don't mind it. Fridays, Amazon will air primetime doubleheaders, and ESPN will also occasionally air some. And then Saturday, ABC will continue to have primetime showcase games, while Amazon will occasionally air games in the afternoon. And then Sundays, NBC will air primetime games after Sunday Night Football wraps up in January. We're getting nationally televised NBA games all week. All week.
What a world we live in. What a world we live in.
Give me more sports. Throw more sports in my face. I'm love.
Go sports.
Go sports. Go sports. Go gambling. Yes. Can't wait.
Yes, I'm shaking.
Yes, I'm literally shaking. I can't wait to gamble tomorrow. I'm literally shaking. My other one I saw, I went to the Luke Combs concert on Saturday. What a time. What a time. That dude don't miss. Still don't know who we brought out on stage.
There you go.
That dude don't miss. Actually, shout out to Damon O'Keefe. I saw him. He bought me a beer. Great time.
Oh.
Yes.
Shout out Damon O'Keefe.
Shout out Damon O'Keefe. What a guy.
You know what I saw, Stan?
What did you see?
I went to the Gaelic Fields for Field Day.
Oh, yes.
I don't know what Irish band. I don't know any Irish bands, to be honest with you. I don't know if it's Shillelagh Lawl. I don't know.
Cousins Crab.
Yeah. I don't know who was, but I had a great time there. That was just a great band. I was vibing with them. The music was great. So that's what I saw. Saw a nice live Irish band.
Oh, Cousins Moran. Their characters, those guys.
It's crazy. Like, every Irish person in this town just knows every fucking Irish band. I don't know a single one of them. They're just like, oh, like, Shamrock's playing at the J.A. Fields.
those J.A. Fields are the time.
Tell me, Mom, that I go home.
They pull my hair, so black over, but that's all right.
But that's all right till I go. She is handsome, she is pretty.
She's a man, love that. Oh my god. Your thoughts on Joe Burrow's hair?
I don't know. Barzy did it before the season. He had point per game, so I don't give a fuck.
Real quick, before we wrap up, who he played for, NFL edition. This is, I always say that the NFL has the worst time of year to have the free agency because it's during March Madness and all the world's eyes are locked in on college basketball and nobody pays attention to NFL free agency. So I'm going to put Tim to the test right now. Who he played for, NFL edition. Are you ready?
Give it to me.
Joe Mixon.
Oh, God, where did he go? Yeah, dude. I mean, I need like a refresher. He ain't on the Bengals anymore.
He's not with the Bengals. He's not in the Bengals.
Oh God, I don't even know. Tell me. It's not Tennessee, is it?
It's not Tennessee.
No.
Maybe it'll like help you.
Yeah.
This team's running back left in free agency to be the replacement of their star running back. So like the team that Joe Mason went to, their old running back left. Signed elsewhere in free agency to be the replacement for their star running back. If you get what I mean.
This is gonna eat away at me. Just tell me.
The Houston Texans.
Oh my! Damn it! Give me another one. There's another one. I know there's another one on deck. Give me another one.
There are plenty on deck. This one should be easy. But although after Joe Mixon, I think that you
Yeah, I need a refresher. It's been a while.
Derrick Henry.
Oh, he's a Raven.
Odell Beckham Jr.
He didn't sign with the Ravens, did he? No, he
was with the Ravens last year. He did not sign with the Ravens.
No, I know. Oh my God, where'd he go? Oh fuck. I don't know, just gave it to me.
The Miami Dolphins. Odell
Ah, damn it. Yeah, I knew that. Yeah.
Okay.
Damn it.
This one's a hard one. Sterling Shepard.
Dude, let me think about this. Where did Sterling Shepard sign? I don't know. Minnesota? I don't even know. I have no idea.
The Buccaneers.
Yeah, I would have, Stan, I would have never gotten that. I would need 32 tries to get that one.
I'm trying to think if this guy got touches last year, but Kyrie.
Jerry Judy's a Brown.
Jerry Judy's a Brown, that's right.
There you go.
Let's see. Ooh, Mike Gesicki.
Left, wow, he's not in Miami. Where the fuck is Mike Gesicki? Pittsburgh?
No. Cincinnati.
Oh, dude, I feel like I saw a picture of him in that jersey, but I'm gonna need this is what the camp's for. It gives me a little refresher because I did not remember any of these.
You should get.
But I probably won't. Famous Jameis?
Jameis Winston.
Dude, he's not a saint. Where the hell did he go? Is he in the Eagles? Like, I don't even know.
He's a Brown.
No. Dude, I don't remember any of these signings.
Backing up to Deshaun Watson. Let's see. Ooh.
Who actually was throwing today?
Joe Flacco.
Dude, he signed. Oh, where did he sign? It's not Indy, is it? No.
What?
Is it? Is it Indy?
It's the Colts.
That's what I thought. Yeah, I figured I was thinking because he's going to go in and Anthony Richardson goes out like week four.
This is a twofer. These two.
All right. This is the last one. We're leaving a high note here. I got to get this right.
Gabe Davis and Mac Jones.
All right. Gabe Davis out the door. Where did he go? I was making fun of the Bills because
one more twofer after this twofer.
All right, this twofer again. I don't know where the fuck Mac Jones went.
The Jaguars.
Mac Jones is a Jaguar. Yes,
the Patriots traded him to Jacksonville.
I didn't even know that.
Yes. All right, last one.
Oh God.
Tony Pollard and Calvin Ridley.
Calvin really signed an absurd deal. Where did he sign that?
I mean, we could say the same thing about Gabe Davis.
Yeah, but who gave him all that money? I'm not going to know, but I know the deal was ridiculous. It was like 3 years, 100-something million. It's something he definitely shouldn't have got, but he definitely got.
Really, 4 years, $92 million, $50 million guaranteed. That's insane.
Gosh. Where is it?
Tennessee.
Yeah, okay. That was sort of where I was leading towards. Jeez. That deal's ridiculous.
That's actually absurd. I did not know how the first player was going to go, and I was like, if you got it right off the rip, I was like, eh.
No. I don't remember any of these. I don't remember any. I got to touch up on all
this. This is the last one. I promise this is the last one. Keenan Allen.
Oh, he's a Bear.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I got that. We'll leave it on the high note.
Or if you want to risk it, go for one more because I just thought of one now.
All right. This is the last one. This is the last one.
Josh Jacobs.
Packer?
Yes.
There we go.
All right. See? This has been who he played for, NFL edition.
It's coming back to me.
It's coming back to you. I'm telling you, this is like always like the worst time. They always do the free agency the worst time of year. All right.
I know.
Two episodes this week. Congratulations to us.
Yeah.
For not saying anything stupid on the chalk episode, number one.
Shocked. How about a lot? That was a time, though. I had a time with that.
That was a great time. A lot happened. How did we compare Bayern dropping out in sports terms? We'll figure that out next episode, but like, just have that thought in your mind, and we'll get the feel of the next episode. Like, what?
It was, it's like when Angel Hernandez stepped down.
Like, all right, man, that's excellent. Sorry. All right, for how long?
He just lost his touch. I mean, that was it.
Jesus Christ. All right.
Am I wrong?
Fuck. All right. Let's wrap it up. Be sure to follow us on Instagram, X, and TikTok. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube. Leave a comment on our video. Leave a like. Be sure to follow us and rate us on Spotify.
Five stars. Stars
only. And we will see you guys Tuesday or Wednesday for our trade deadline recap. Hopefully something happens. I pray something happens. Hopefully. If not,
we'll hopefully
see Tuesday or Wednesday. Whatever. All right. Peace out, guys.